Blog Talk Radio.
United Front. Ambassador O. Let's go somewhere, y'all. Green Job Zero.
Saw the box with the guard. You ain't got nothing that's obnoxious at all. From my lungs, it's guns that shot through your armor, pierce through your heart in the chakra, your aura. Lower vibes, my flow pulverized, alkaline out my mind, looking down at me from another time. I out of time, meaning I exist out of that. Meaning whoever intervening on my bridal rack. Now valley flow, lower upper cataract, sub-Sahara paragraphs, I got all of that. Feeling Nigeria, hysteria, Ghana to Botswana, Somali, Mali, Zambia to Gambia. I got the features of deities, Orishas, Pharaoh. No angels, halos, Jesus, hell no. The name's Omawali, you know me, it's all star. Step into the booth and throw the track into an arm bar. Keep a clack clack of the clap crackers, they grab MAGA hat. Slap hanging a tad savage with Mad Magazine. When pigs arrive on the scene, they gon' blame aim, cause the aim is supreme.
Back from the motherland, and they wanna know
what they wanna know.
When you coming home?
Yeah.
When you coming home?
Black man in the face, African pants on his waist.
Yeah,
you walk up times, it's a goddamn disgrace. Why language if my language is hate?
Yeah.
I love my people, so we brandish the thing. Those dudes you think is gangster is gay. They kill brothers, won't do damage today. They could challenge the statement and get sent to go bandage they face. Man, I got crackers to chase, babies to teach to reestablish the race. Don't include me in your nonsense debates. Holla if you wanna repatriate. And I just came back in Kruma's lament. Garvey's ascent, Blotties connect. Diaspora dialogue that I am on. Freedom, devil's trying to put helium on the common voice. I brought bass, BPM off for the car chase. Old school heavy Chevy just for the trunk space. Ask yourself, is there a cracker in it? Not at this very minute, but that's subject to change.
And I just came back.
Stay strapped, stay black, stay away from the rats, that's that.
And I just came back.
Stay black, stay intact, don't stray from the pack. Stay black, that's that, that's that.
Peace, 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 peace from Black Power Family. Welcome to another episode of Do Knowledge Radio, place where knowledge is born. This is your host, Knowledge Born a Lot. This is our revolutionary Sunday episode, and we are definitely honored to have our day two of the Straight Black Pride Celebration Weekend here live on Do Knowledge Radio, and we've got none other than the man, the myth, the legend, Warrior King in the building. Mr. Tad Cromwell, a.k.a. Uncle Tad, is in the building straight out of the Brooklyn. You see what I'm saying? And we about to get it cracking. The phone number to call in, family, 515-605-9360. Again, 515-605-9360. Press 1 to get your questions or your comments. It becomes my honor and privilege at this time to introduce to some and present to others tonight's guest here live on Do Knowledge Radio, my brother, your brother. Uncle Tad is in the building.
Straight Black Pride. Peace of Straight Black Pride family. It's your brother, Uncle Tad. How you feeling, brother Knowledge Born?
Hey, I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. Let me give you this Brooklyn salute real quick.
Is Brooklyn in here tonight?
And that is official.
I seen cats running across. They went across the street, you know what I'm saying? They start tucking their chain in.
Yo, it's funny, Knowledge, right? First, let me apologize for the lateness, and let me thank you for being accommodating. You know, when the elders call me, I always jump, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I honestly believe only way we're going to get our blessings in this African movement is by honoring the elders, that our African-centered elders, that we're at their beck and
right.
call every time they reach out to us, because we have to hope in the days of our eldership that we'll have young students that we can call on when we need that youthful energy and that able body to do the work that our elders continue to do. You know, so as you know, we're planning a trip to go back to Africa again next year, 2018. So, you know, the elders,
mm-hmm.
they don't move as swift as they used to. So, you know, I'm
right.
always not early for the elders. You know, they can't get there at the designated time. So, you know, we have to be patient and accommodating. So I thank you for extending that courtesy to accommodate my target.
It's you.
You know.
You know, it's you.
But,
you're always on time,
you
know.
Yo, you throwing that Brooklyn joint, and I think people don't understand, you know, because I know you got listeners all around the world, and they feel some kind of way about New York City dudes, and rightfully so. They talk about the arrogance, you know, and the self-centeredness. Now, all of us are not self-centered, and many of us do have a slight air of arrogance, but I don't think people really understand the magnitude of what it is to be from Brooklyn. You know what I'm saying? Because people say
right.
New York, New York. But dudes from Buffalo is from New York. You know what I'm saying? Buffalo is in
right.
New York, but it don't have that element that creates the whole hip-hop culture or even dominate the hip-hop culture, just about anything that we do. Because let's not forget Mike Tyson is from Brooklyn. So when you come from Brooklyn, you truly have to go hard. Jay-Z's from Brooklyn. Biggie's from Brooklyn. Big Daddy Kane's from Brooklyn. When I met the Honorable Dr. Khalid Muhammad, it was in Brooklyn. And he was posted up around the corner from my house on Fulton Street. You know, so I think Harlem dudes can attest, Queens dudes can attest, Bronx dudes can attest. Brooklyn dudes is a little different. So I truly appreciate the Biggie salute, because Biggie was a close personal friend of mine, even though he wasn't conscious. You know, he's definitely a dude I grew up with, along with another conscious giant, our brother A-Rashid. You know what I'm saying? Brother A.A. Rashid is from Brooklyn. Same streets. We all, man, that's why many of us who survived the streets of Brooklyn find the necessity to take this on, you know, this street energy, this warrior bravado. We have to start lending that to the, you know, to the agenda of African people. You can't be a warrior
right.
in the street, you know, talk about your fearless in the street. But then when it's time to really step up, take it another notch, and be fearless for all of your people, you want to cower down. Because I see that with a lot of dudes. They might be tough in the street or give the persona that they're tough in the street, and then they read a couple of books and they don't want to fight nobody no more. They don't want to tussle no more, you know?
Right.
And shout out to my mother, because she told me she'll be listening in today, you know what I'm saying? Because my mother supports my growth, you know? She know I've always been a fighter since a child, but now she sees that I fight for good and righteous things and not fighting outside just to be fighting or fighting in school just because nobody knows us better than our parents, you know.
That's right.
So salute to Mom Dukes, the woman who made it all possible, the good, the bad, and the indifferent.
All right, so congratulations on Straight Black Pride chapter in Boston, you know what I'm saying? I've seen some footage, you know. I've seen a quick
yeah.
wash, you know what I'm saying?
from
Sister Keisha, I've seen a quick wash from Sister Keisha, right quick, you know what I'm saying? Light work, you know?
Yeah.
It was beautiful to see y'all out there getting it in. We was on, myself and Baba Kafaru Kamati, you know what I'm saying? Formerly
yeah.
known as Baba EJ, you know, we was chopping some game yesterday, some serious game, and he said to me, and I quote, he said, "Knowledge, I am so glad that I went first. I don't want to have to follow Uncle Tad on the joint." You understand what I'm saying? So he was like, "I'm glad I went first." You see what I'm saying? So, you know, I understand exactly where he was coming from. You see what I'm saying? So it's definitely an honor to have you back on. You know, you always pop on whenever, you know, I call on you. So you already know you got straight black pride privilege, you know what I'm saying, and Brooklyn privilege, you see what I'm saying? So that's another element right there, you see, you know what I'm saying? So it's definitely an honor.
Well, I appreciate
so
that.
However the schedule had to work out, you know what I'm saying, it's definitely going to work out, you see what I'm saying? So, yeah.
Yeah, I truly appreciate that. And shout out to my brother, Kifaru Kalidosos Kimathi. I love my big brother. He has a lot of wisdom and humility to him. But don't get it twisted. He's
right.
An OG himself. He's an OG from
right.
the shot. Please don't get it twisted.
Right.
And that's one of the things I love about our straight black pride movement, you know. And shout out to our Boston family, our sister Mello, our brother Saleh, and our brother Body Shot, who actually been quiet on the stage for a minute. And he was the featured presenter yesterday in Boston. And, of course, Jeannie gave him that name, Body Shot, because he's so eloquent and articulate and smooth with it. I said, I'm going to start calling him Lotion. He's so smooth. You know what I'm saying? But it's a true brotherhood. With Straight Black Pride, there's a brotherhood that exists amongst us that I've only found in the streets, you know, because dudes I run the streets with, or rather ran the streets with, you're talking about 30-plus years. 30-plus years of camaraderie, 30-plus years of ducking the law, 30-plus years of getting it to it with rivals and, you know, funerals and jail visits. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
The things that most people will never fathom, and never have any of us switched on each other. Never have. You know what I'm saying? Nobody ever took the stand. Nobody ever said no when they could help a brother. Nobody never said no when we could hire a brother. Again, we got to take that up another notch and do it for what needs to be done. We read about the Panthers. We read about the BLM. We read about all the organizations that really put work in, that ran up in these financial institutions and helped themselves. You know what I'm saying? We know who,
right.
We know we read about George Jackson. You know, we know these brothers was really putting in work. And the sad part, and this is not a knock on nobody. This is not a knock on nobody, you know, making their attempt to do the work as best they can. But it's just too many big mouths in the movement now. It's not enough African testosterone. It's a lot of pontificating, a lot of speculation, a lot of accusation, but there's no real boots to the ground, groundwork being committed. You know, I think what's happening right now, because I always consult my elders, and the knowledge and the wisdom they give me, they always let me know I'm going in the right direction. You know, shout out to Baba Baruti, you know, because I call Baba Baruti when I got real-life issues. You know what I'm saying? When I'm at a crossroads and I need to make real, solid, sound decisions, I consult with my elder. And sometimes he gives me the truth. Because I want to say sometimes he may say things I don't want to hear, but it's not that I don't want to hear it. It's that's what I call him for. And at times you know what's the right thing, but you're just not always comfortable with doing the right thing. Because you're so used to having things your way. You know what I'm saying? But Baba Baruti is definitely an esteemed elder who I have the utmost respect for. And not to mention my female elders that I just left, you know, Mama Eileen, also known as Nana Bweki. You know, when she was installed in Africa, you know, they changed the name. She's the queen of development in Ghana in the village of Langma.
Right.
They call her Nana Bweki. And my other elder, Mama Nzinga. You know, but I mean, we have to surround ourselves with elders to make sure we stay the path. But then, you know, we also have to snatch up the young people and not be so disconnected from them that we can't reach them. Because I always tell people, you can't reach the people if you can't teach the people. If you're so out of tune with the youth culture and you don't speak their language, you're gonna lose them. You're gonna lose them. And I think a lot of times, many of our people get so hot to diddy with the knowledge or even with the self-grandizement of the work that they've done. That should be applauded. that any work that's done should be applauded. But nonetheless, we're not free yet, so we can't kick back and act like we've done so much. Because on social media, anytime you challenge somebody, the first thing I hear people say is, well, what are you doing? What are you doing? And I think it's an insult. I think I would be insulting people if I talked about what I do in the movement, you know, because it's not just straight Black pride. You know, there's so much that I do because we all have a part to do, you know. The harvest is plenty, but the labor is few. So
that's right.
I'm going to do as much as I can. But that's not to knock somebody who's just learning or somebody who's just starting. Because, I mean, I've done the basket school drives. I took people to Africa. I've educated children. I introduced them to rappers. You know, so and let the rappers give them an inspiring word and the truth. You know, because there's such a broad gap between our people and the generation. And now, even within the movement, you have a broader gap because you have your holistic spiritual healers, which we need. You got your diehard RBG warriors, which we need. We got your intellectual scholars, so to speak, that, you know, is trying to bring information and they'll debate that, which we may need. Everyone is needed. Everyone is needed. But we really can't downplay people's effort. What we can do is start critiquing people. It's no longer about the liberation of the people, but turning this into a three-ring circuit or just trying to fleece the people and rob them, because that has to be dealt with also. We have to stop inviting people into our community that time and time again constantly remind us that they have no love, they're not a part of our community, and nor do they have a desire to be. Case in point, Tommy Sotomayor. I saw the video when Tommy Sotomayor came. I felt some kind of way when he got the red carpet. You know, felt kind of happy he got punched in the face. But then I felt some kind of way when people started snitching and telling the brothers that they wrong for stepping up, dealing what needs to be dealt with. Anybody disrespect my mother or my sister or my cousins, you know, you're going to get dealt with when you see it. It's on site.
I don't care where I see you.
Exactly.
I don't care where I see you.
And we're not going to slap five and act like everything is cool and like you didn't violate and disrespect Black women. We're not going to do that part.
Right.
That we're not going to do. But then the sadder part is that Black women was trying to protect the very dude that was disrespecting them. And what does he do? He gets on his platform and spits more disrespect. Disrespect our brother Poppy, Hassan Campbell. Shout out to him. He was disrespectful to our brother Hassan. So now if Poppy put his hands on Tommy, is he wrong? Nah. But who invited this dude? Who invited him to the party? And now that's when we got to start questioning that. What was the reason for inviting? People just like to see, some people just like drama. But they won't, you know, people like to spectate, but they won't put in that work. I always tell people, I've been in the streets for too long. If I'm going to bust your head, I'm not going to tell you I'm going to bust your head, because you're not going to have no witness, because I'm going to really do it. So I don't need nobody going to the law talking about, well, Dad said he's going to punch him in the face when he sees him. Dad said he's going to clap him. And when all that happens, who the folks coming to see first? Me. So you don't broadcast it. We know Bad Boys moving silent.
That's
and again,
conspiracy before the fact.
Yeah, yo. And
that's
people
conspiracy
don't know.
Before
yo,
the fact. You know what
you
I mean?
You will be a murder before you be the conspiracy. You will be the murder charge before you be the conspiracy charge. People better know that.
And I was just bugging about the immaturity as far as this virtual community now, because it got to be included in the conversation. You see what I'm saying? The lack of discipline on the internet is remarkable. You see what I'm saying? Like, so the use language is the internet. You see? So now we have to speak this computer language. You see what I'm saying? In order to reach the youth. You know, one of the tools to. But what are they seeing us do on the internet? You see what I'm saying? Like, this, the kind of things that are happening, the kind of virtual attacks. You see what I'm saying? Brothers and sisters are being viruses on the internet. You see what I'm saying? And they're leaking things, and they're not acting in proper order. You got no business on the internet. Then you need to get off of the internet until you know how to conduct yourself on the internet. You see what I'm saying? They was giving out football numbers, G, for stuff people putting on the internet. How many people done got locked up? How do you get locked up for the internet? You understand what I'm saying? Like, this is the stage in the game where which we at right now. You know, with these levels of communication, you saying things on the internet you would never say to somebody in person, and then you got conspiracy before the fact, and conspiracy after the fact. It's a wrap. You see what I'm saying? If you said on the internet, when I see knowledge, I'm going to punch him in the face. You see what I'm saying? And I liked it. That's conspiracy.
Word.
If I shared it, that's conspiracy. If I was in the comment section, like, boom, that's conspiracy. You understand what I'm saying? Like, so this foolishness that's on the internet, like these people on the internet, they really acting like there's a such thing as free speech. Like we was born here to have free speech. Like our ancestors was born here to have free speech. You see what I'm saying? Like this ain't a death camp that we in. You see what I'm saying? Like the purpose for you to be bought here. You in a prison cell. We in a prison cell called America on death row. And the only reason why we're not frightened about being on death row is because we got a flat screen. You understand what I'm saying? We got a flat screen in our cell. You know, we got a Bentley parked outside or something. You see what I'm saying? So we are content in a space where we're waiting to die. You see what I'm saying? So as far as our culture even goes, we have not had an opportunity in America to live out black culture. That's how you can give it up so easy. You see what I'm saying? That's how you can give it up so easy. It's frivolous. It don't mean anything to you. It's just like a house that's passed down to you that been in your family for generations. For generations. And then, you know, the small hat come with $100,000 cash. Next thing you know, your house is gone. The house that was left to you, your inheritance, you squandered your inheritance for pennies, you know, for shillings.
That's right.
You see what I'm saying? Because we don't have a value system and a connection to our culture. We don't have it. We don't have the culture. The culture ain't been lived out. Now, we done had remnants of a culture. We done had amalgamations of a culture, but we have not lived because we're not in a place where we can live. This is not a place to live. How do you live in prison? How do you live in a graveyard? You see what I'm saying? These are places where you go to be buried. When you go on the other side of that wall, you locked out from the world. You see what I'm saying? Like you got family members that be like, yo, we ain't heard from him in years. We ain't heard from her in years. You ain't even connected with your family. So you might as well not even be in existence. You might as well be in the graveyard. And this is where we are with one another within the framework of the culture. We don't have the culture. We don't have a culture. Our culture was stolen. You see what I'm saying? Like those the real robbers, the real rapers, you know, all of these, you know, these infiltrators that came in and destroyed. We don't even have a black family. Like we say we got a black family, Chad, and we got a black family. You come from a black family. I come from a black family. You see what I'm saying? But the generations that are coming up now don't come from black families.
Nor do they want one if they did.
It's based off of what they see on the internet and what they see on the TV. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
This is black.
Yes.
Like we claiming, why would somebody claim hip-hop now? Why would you claim that? Why would you say, yo, this hip-hop is our culture? It's not. Look at it.
Not no more. Yeah,
no.
Right.
Ain't no way. There's no way. You see what I'm saying? Right. So I wouldn't even lay claim to that. You see what I'm saying? I wouldn't even lay claim to anything that came on the radio. You see what I'm saying? But then we looking, and this is what got our children, the internet, the TV, the radio, the internet, the TV, the radio. So all of the things that got a hold of our people are artificial. It's not real.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? It's all virtual. And virtual is the opposite of real, because when it's real, it's real. So if you act, there's a difference between the acting mayor and the mayor. You acting. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
We used to know
right.
that acting was virtual.
You used to know that you just was filling the spot until the real mayor comes. And when the real mayor
That's
comes,
right.
you got
to
move. You see what
you
I'm saying? But now we're taking this, right, we're taking this act, these actors as if they're real. They're actors. You see what I'm saying? We got these actors and posers, and we're looking for these actors and posers to take roles of leadership. They're taking roles of leadership from real leaders. So the real leaders
yeah.
among us that are really working for the benefit and the betterment, the resurrection, rise, and salvation of our people are being overshadowed by actors. You see what I'm saying? And the brothers and sisters
yeah.
don't know no better. They're looking at these actors as if they're real, and they're neglecting to see the real leaders, the real people that are really making it happen, the real people that are genuine and sincere. You see what I'm saying? So, you know, back Public Enemy said don't believe the hype. You see what I'm saying? But we being
yeah.
fooled by that same type of hype. So we definitely got to have a critical look. So I'm glad that you're here today, because ain't nobody better qualified to be, you know, to look at this design and see how we're going to get this straight black future. That's why the show is Straight Black Future. You see what I'm saying? And you just said it by connecting with our elders and bridging that gap all the way through to our youth. You see what I'm saying? So we got our ancestors, we got our elders, we got our peer group, we got our youth, and we got our tomorrow, our ancestors returning that have not yet materialized into the physical form. We have to make a way for them. You see what I'm saying? So we can't do it fragmented. We can't do it, you know, separate. So now we got to see all of the tools that's being used against us and find a way to weaponize those weapons of opportunity and be able to move forward in the best manner. You see what I'm saying? And we got a vehicle. You know, I can't lay claim to, you know, too many of these organizations, because a lot of these organizations then allow some outsiders and some
yep.
Eurosexuals into the joint. I can't rock with you. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't rock with you holistically. You see what I'm saying? We can't even come to some kind of common ground, because the ground that you're standing on and the ground that I'm standing on ain't the same ground. You see what I'm saying? Because mine didn't
sure.
change. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
We still know who our enemy is. You know, I didn't forget. You see what I'm saying? I didn't forget. So I can't be around you because you forgot. So even if I try to tell you, it's too late. They're already inside your organization. You already bigging them up. You on the stage with them. You see what I'm saying? And if they ain't there physically, they're there mentally, because you allowing these Eurosexual behaviors, you know, to manifest in your organization. See what I'm saying? So the you're not going to have none of them doodoo chasers, you know, talking about they straight black and proud. It's an oxymoron.
You know.
You see what I'm
you
saying?
You know, and I'm glad you brought that up, because the video you alluded to, you know, the one with me and Sister Keisha, you know, they tried to infiltrate again yesterday. Come in with their cameras. They try to act polite, but, you know, these people, they don't have no class or cool, nor do they have any condorum about how they conduct themselves. They don't realize we spot them a mile away. First of all, their whole style is chump. The way they dress, the way they talk. You know, they weigh their hair natural, but their lifestyle isn't natural. And I'm starting to realize, you know, the older I get, I'm starting to realize that these are our children that we're dealing with. These are our children that are rebelling against us, because the people we had to deal with yesterday were like in their early 20s, maybe late teens, early 20s. But we had some quote-unquote black media, black independent media, as they call themselves, try to infiltrate and ask questions. And to your point, they ask, is there any space for the queer in your straight black problem? Contradiction in that. Because they don't operate from a place of logic. To your point, you know, just about all of this sexual deviancy and all of this that they're trying to present to us, they got it all backwards and twisted. Because that, how do you ask if there's any space for a queer person in the straight black pride movement? That's a contradiction within itself. So now that's like asking, is there any room for boys in the Girl Scouts? Of course there's no room for girls, for boys, I'm sorry, for girls in the Boy Scouts, and vice versa. You know, but this is what we're dealing with, because people are so emotional, they're not going on facts and study, they're just going on how they feel. and how they feel is being manufactured by this social media age. All of this information out here is confusing people. It's not helping anyone. It's confusing more and more people. Because now every time you talk about black liberation or the black power movement, it's almost like James Baldwin and Byron Rustin is the default go-to person. And they always drop them names. They always bring up Angela Davis. They always drop them names.
Right.
But those people aren't right. working in the interest of black people. They were working in the interest of their sexual desires. And we have to be clear what the end game is. And so I tried to explain to the young people yesterday that you know, the young homos that tried to infiltrate our movement yesterday. Anytime you join the black organization, you got to be clear on what's the end game. Is it integration or separation? And from that point, we'll determine how we're going to work together. Because too many of them are talking integration, but they haven't. And if they want integration, clearly they haven't studied our story. To know that integration was the poison that killed our movement. It wasn't slavery. It wasn't Christianity. It was integration. Because even with Christianity, we still managed to build a Tulsa, Oklahoma, a Durham, North Carolina, a Richmond, Virginia, a Weeksville, Brooklyn. We managed to build all of these communities, even though, you know, Christianity ain't the best thing for us, but it ain't killing us either. We got to remember that a lot of our churches were AME churches, African Methodist Episcopal Church. That's what AME stands for. So we didn't lose our identity. We were clear on who we are, at least back then. But right now, these young people don't know who we are, and they don't know who the enemy is, and they keep blaming the system. But I think Dr. Khalid said it best. He used the analogy. People keep saying it's not the people, it's the system, it's the system. Dr. Khalid said that's like saying it's not the spider, it's the web. You have to tear down the web. Like Dr. Khalid said, you tear down the web, the spider is just going to spin another one. But if you kill that spider, he won't be around to spin another web. So it gets as simple as that, blaming the system. But then we have to look, who created this system and who does it benefit? If you're not going to get rid of the beneficiaries of the system, you will never get rid of the system. People only get rid of a system when it no longer serves them. This system has never served us. So we have to get rid of the people that created the system. Because sure enough, as we in Boston yesterday, we talking about gentrification. Same thing is going on in Boston. It's going on in St. Louis, going on in Brooklyn, going on in D.C., going on in Philly. While we're still arguing whether or not we should sleep with the same sex. We know that's not safe. How does homosexuality helps us? How does it help the movement? I'm waiting for somebody to answer. Nobody answered that yet. So the answer to the question, can we coexist? Because that's always the question. We can't coexist, not within this movement. And I think that's the point people missing. Me, I don't advocate going around killing gay folks. I don't advocate going around killing nobody publicly. Only those who harm my children. Only those who harm our children. I publicly advocate their murders and make no apologies about it. But if we know we got work to do, we can't be sitting around playing with people who are not working. It is non-productive, it's counterproductive, but what I see with these homos is that they keep trying to infiltrate us and telling us that a black man loving a black woman is wrong. And it's like, yo, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard. It's not wrong. We all came into an existence. I told a girl yesterday, I said, your parents and your grandparents were straight, black, and proud, right? She said, no, they wasn't. I said, your grandparents was gay. And she had to stop because she just wanted to be argumentative. And that's where we at with our people, man. The lack of research, the lack of study, it hurts so bad, Brother Knowledge. Because every time you talk to somebody, they're very opinionated, and you ask them what's their frame of reference, they can never tell you. They don't have a frame of reference. I'm going to stop right there.
They never got it. You know, you talking to a sister who came from a mother and a father. You see what I'm saying? Like, that's as simple as it gets. You talking to a sister who came from a mother and a father. You see what I'm saying? There's no other way to get here. You know what I'm saying? They got means and ways that they're doing now in this laboratory to show you, you know, how they can relegate the greatest power in the universe, the creation power. You see what I'm saying? The creation power. So in order to stagnate creativity, you put it in a space to where it is artificially inseminated. You understand? So now the people don't matter. You see what I'm saying? The people don't matter. Only the act matters. The act trumps the people. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
And all things come from that same creative space. It begins in the womb of your mind, and it manifests in the physical form. You see what I'm saying? So now what this Eurosexual assault, you know, means, you know, from one perspective is that it's eroding the mind. So even in your thoughts, even in your creative process of your thoughts, it's controlling the diameter of your thinking. You see what I'm saying? So now your thoughts, you thinking that these are your own thoughts, but these thoughts are manufactured to you and for you by your enemy. You see what I'm saying? So now your mind is, you know, poison. So anything that's coming from that creative space, that beautiful black mind that brought all things into existence, is now being infiltrated and hijacked by that parasite. And so that parasite is sucking the blood out of the life force out of the mind. So anything that you create is being controlled by them. You see what I'm saying? So we see that. So
for sure.
Anything you create in the arts and the sciences, all of that, you see what I'm saying? Because you don't have an education system that teaches you how to be black, but you got one that teaches you how to be white. Education system that teaches you how to be a homosexual. You understand what I'm saying? Because these people have set up these systems. You see what I'm saying? Dr. Bobby Wright said, ain't no system of racism, white supremacy. It's black people versus white people. So now when you remove the barrier of the system, of the machine, you see what I'm saying? Now it's face-to-face. You see what I'm saying? So now I know that anything that you move, however you move, anything that you set up, anything that you institute, any law, any policy, is for the destruction of me. You see what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So now you put the people in front of the system. You see what I'm saying? And say, these people use this way. You see what I'm saying? And it's about power, and it's about the destruction of African people. Like I was speaking about the term African-American. You know how disrespectful you got to be? You know how disrespectful you have to be to open your mouth and say you're an African-American? You see what I'm saying? What does that mean? What does that mean to an African? What does America mean to African people?
Right.
It means our destruction. It means our devastation. It means our separation. It means us being dismembered and cut off from our root, Mother Africa. You see what I'm saying? So we could dance around it and say, hey, Uncle Tad, they could say, hey, we indigenous to this landmass, right? Did those Euros not come over here and destroy the indigenous people?
Exactly.
or did they give them a pass? Did they give them a pass and say, nah, y'all indigenous? So we talking about the same people. You see what I'm saying? Whether we talking about from the continent or whoever claims that they indigenous to this landmass, we all got killed.
That's
you understand
right.
what I'm saying? So to say American, that you American even to the people who claim they indigenous to this landmass, is dishonor and disrespect. Blood soaked with our ancestors. We see the streets paved. We see houses built, and they built on the graves of our ancestors. You understand? Built
Yo, you
off
know,
of the
it's
backs,
funny you say that.
Physically built on top of the graves of our ancestors, if there was even graves.
And I was about to say that because I'm in East New York right now, in East New York, Brooklyn, not far from New Life Avenue, and there was actually an African burial ground there. Even you know, Lower Manhattan was built on African burial grounds, not just the one we know, the ones we didn't know about either, the ones we don't know about. And everything you're saying is 100% true because many people don't even know here in Brooklyn the history of our African enslavement here in New York because pretty much people always want to blame the South. They want to blame the South, and they don't realize that's because the Union won the war, so they control the narrative. So, of course,
right.
we're gonna get a biased version of their story. So they'll blame everything on the South, make it seem like it was only the people in the South who hated us, but this whole country hated us. and we got to be clear. It was just the North was a little smoother and a little methodical because they understood it was war. So they practiced war tactics, camouflage, and espionage. And we haven't learned the art of those tactics yet because a lot of times we run around with our emotions on our sleeves. We got to, you know what I'm saying? And there's a place for our cultural expression.
Right.
There's a place for our cultural expression. Don't get me wrong, but I don't think every day I should have to wear red, black, and green just to show people my political position or where I still want that. You already closed yourself to so many opportunities to get information. That's what espionage is. Sometimes you have to learn how to camouflage yourself so you can sneak in certain meetings and get the information and be like, hey, you know they're trying to do this, and then you can head them off at the pass. People don't understand how important spies and espionage is in the act of war. Everybody think it's just frontline warriors. Nah, it's deeper than that. And black folks we don't study war enough. We don't study war tactics. We quick to say we in the war, but we don't act like it. We only part in that emergency vehicles going past. Yeah,
that siren is a reminder.
Yeah. We always talk about we in the war, but we don't act like it. We don't prepare our children for people that are in the war. We don't have escape routes for our homes. We don't have unspoken signals for how we move. And I'm saying as a group, as a collective, because if we did, we would approach each other differently. We would treat each other differently. Because there's so many things that we're missing, and it's like we're getting further away from the goal. Like, you ever been swimming and get caught in an undercurrent, like an undercurrent?
Yeah.
So you're swimming towards the beach, but the undercurrent, not the waves on top of the water, but the undercurrent under is pulling you further and further from shore. What's happening to us right now. So no matter all of our efforts, we trying to swim, we trying to get to land, we trying to get free, but we haven't dealt with the undercurrent. Now, to get out the undercurrent, you can't swim straight ahead to the shore. You got to swim sideways out a little slant. You got to approach it differently. And that's what I'm saying in terms of our liberation. We got to approach it differently. Everything can't always be head on. Yeah, sometimes you got to fight. You got to put up a resistance. And that's just natural with any life form. Plants and trees do it. Anytime they feel a threat, they shift their body the other way. All life does that. Have to have some element of self-defense to deal with confrontation. But when you have a goal, and you have a mission, you have to be clear on how you're going to accomplish that goal and achieve that mission. And our goal is total liberation and sovereignty. Not sovereignty that the Moors talk about. And no knock to my Moorish brothers. You know, I'm not a Moor. And I also know for a fact, I know this to be a fact, Brother Knowledge Born. You cannot file no document in your oppressor's court of law. By the fact of you filing documents, asking them to grant you freedom is an acknowledgement of their superiority and your lack of sovereignty. If you're sovereign, you don't have to ask nobody for freedom. You don't have to file no papers. You don't have to file no writs and no habeas corpuses and all kind of foolishness if you're free. If you're free, you understand that you're born free, and anybody who try to contradict that, you have the God-given right to pop their head off. So they don't see the flaw in that. All you got to do is file that document, and you're free. You'll never be free on a plantation. The United States of America is a plantation, and all they did was expand it. All they did was they expanded plantation and call them U.S. territories. But we're not clear on the contradiction. We are not clear. The language sounds good. It sounds good, but that's what I like to call eloquent ignorance. Because dudes could talk a good one, but show me better than you tell me. I can show you how African people in America have gained their freedom and independence, and many of them have even left the country. Let's be clear. But that's a topic for a whole nother show. But I don't know nobody who got free by filing papers. Look, what's our brother's name? Dred Scott tried it. It worked for his wife, and she wasn't totally free because she was still in America, but he tried it, and what Judge Taney said, a black man has no rights that a white man is bound to respect. It's pretty much he told him to get his papers up out of here. Remember, St. Louis was a free territory. It was a free territory. Dred Scott made it to St. Louis. He was supposed to be free, but he wasn't. Returned back. So, you know, we got to really pick a direction and a goal that we're going to go in as black people. Because if you don't identify as black or African or descendant of African, what do we really have to talk about? We can work on a project or two together, but our end goal is totally different because some of them want to stay here while the rest of us is looking towards Africa. To romanticize Africa as this utopia, as this heaven, because as a person who's been there twice in two countries when I went, it ain't no utopia. I mean, it ain't as bad as people would make you think. It ain't no jungle with monkeys running around. And you know what I'm saying? It ain't all that stupidity you see. But again, it ain't no utopia. Because once we get to Africa, we're going to have work to do. It's not like you just step off the plane and automatically you're free and everything is all right. We need to go to Africa because that's where the world resources is. So if you want to be a power in the world, you have to control resources. Look at China. Just a couple of decades ago, China was one of the poorest countries in the world. Look at them now. They're one of the superpowers, sitting at the table with the big boys, brokering deals, making demands, building their own military bases off in the seas, off of their shores. But where are they getting this from? Because they got their hands in Africa now. They said, I'm going to go to Africa, get some of these resources, build up my home base, and get a seat at this table. Black folks, we're the only ones who are not doing that. We still begging for crumbs from the people who took everything from us in the first place. How smart is that? But, you know, I digress, brother.
I agree. So we got a caller calling in from area code 504-319. Area code 504-319. You on live? On Do Your Knowledge Radio with our brother, Uncle Chad, Straight Black Pride. Area code 504, your line is open. Do you have a question or a comment? Area code 504.
Yeah, hello.
Let's talk about that, right? You know, let's talk about the trip to the continent. You know, I wanted to hear them experiences. I've seen all of the good photos. You know what I'm saying? Share some of them experiences with us.
Well, you know, it was emotional and it was spiritual for me. Because, you know, as I went to the continent, the first thing you know is the air quality is different. The landscape looks different. Like, it's really red mud clay over there. It's hard to describe, you know what I'm saying? Because your mind has to be African-centered to really appreciate it. You know, some people may complain about the heat, but the temperature was beautiful. It just felt good to be there. And, you know, just so in Brooklyn, you know, we right here by the water. We right, you know, our beach is right here on the other side of the Atlantic Ocean. So I went from one side of the Atlantic Ocean to the other. You know, pretty much traced our ancestor footsteps. And then just to be there, to meet the people, for people in the airport to see that you from the United Snakes and tell you, welcome home. You know what I'm saying? Before I even really touch the soil, just for the people on the continent say, oh, welcome home. Is this your first time? Welcome home. I hope you come back. The food was delicious. You don't taste no chemicals in the food. No chemicals in the food whatsoever. I mean, and then to go to the, where I sojourned over here to the hells of North America and the Caribbean and all over the place where it all started. Man, those dungeons aren't big, bro. Those dungeons aren't huge. And then to find out they put 200 and 300 people in a room like that. I mean, I was emotional because I could feel the pain of the ancestors. But then as I walk out, part of my spirit was happy and rejoicing because we are our ancestors' hopes and dreams, bro. Those ancestors that was trapped up in there, I'm certain that they prayed that their children, their grandchildren, and great-grandchildren didn't have to go through that. And here it is. It's just we have it here in the world. And as much as we have to fight, we didn't have it as bad as our ancestors. We didn't. And we got it pretty bad. So, you know, you see it in the videos all the time, but ain't nothing like being there where they show you how high the fecal matter comes up. They show you the sacred geometry that our ancestors practiced in the floor. They were just writing carvings in the ground. And until this day, many people, if any, that I've seen yet, has been able to decipher what were these drawings, what were these shapes, why did they do it? You know, it was just real powerful. And then for people to say that Africans on the continent don't like us or Africans hate us, yo, just about every museum I went into, bro, is dedicated to us. I'm talking about even in the slave dungeon, when you go upstairs to what used to be their churches, of American freedom fighters up as well as Caribbean and African freedom fighters. Malcolm X is on in just about every museum. Bro, I went to W.E.B. Du Bois Center. They call it the Cultural Center for African Americans. That's the name of W.E.B. Du Bois Center. It's for African Americans, right? They got Dr. Clark picture up. Huge picture. Dr. Ben. Sheikh Anta Diop. They got the real freedom fighters. So they're on the same page with us. So when brothers talk about Africans don't like us and Africans don't want us, it's like they're demonstrating their level of ignorance, particularly for those who are supposed to be knowledgeable and conscious. And some of them even have media platforms, bro. I ain't going much, but some of these brothers actually have media. There's an Africa on them at that. The Africans think they don't like us, they don't want us, but never had a passport to go to Africa. They want to rock red, black, and green and holler Marcus Garvey, but what did he tell us to do? They want to invoke the spirit of Malcolm, but what did Malcolm tell us to do? We sound like walking contradictions, and that goes back to your earlier statement about virtual leaders, because it's not the one with the most substance, it's the one with the biggest mouth and the most likes and followers. But they're not organizing the people. But what I am noticing right now is the 2017, that all these pseudo leaders that I was talking about, they the most requested speakers and they booked and all of this, where are they following that now? Because the people get tired of rhetoric and talk. And as you look at Straight Black Pride, here we launched another chapter yesterday in Boston. We launched our Boston chapter. Yes, we'll see the value on what we're doing. Why? Because people actually see we have programs to service the people and help the people. And we don't just take anybody, bro. You hear me, bro? We don't take just anybody. A lot of our people are damaged. A lot of our people in the movement, knowledge bomb. I can't tell you how hurt and psychologically damaged our brothers and sisters truly are. We have arguments and falling outs without conversation. People will unfriend you, block you, tell lies about you. And I'm saying me personally, but I see them do it to other people in other movements. I've seen other movements that are doing work. I've seen it. And I'm like, yo, the same element we're trying to get away from in the streets, people are bringing those behaviors in the movement. And it don't do us no good. So what we actually need is a new purge. That's why Straight Black Pride, we kind of exclusive because I get inboxes. I get people, yo, how can I be a part of it? How can I be a part of it? We'll let you know. Because just like I was invited in, I was watched. I was vetted before I got my invitation to be a part of Straight Black Pride. And not even be a part of it, but to be involved with the foundation of, with the building of Straight Black Pride movement. So we've been watching. And we see what you're doing. Why? Because I don't have a big mouth. I don't need to be seen all the time. I mean, I got a lot of things I like to say. I got, you know, I got my ideas and thoughts about what we as black people should be doing, but I don't know everything. I could be wrong in some of my conclusions. But nonetheless, I was recognized for the things that I've done in my community, not just what I, not what I've done on Facebook. Because when you take all these dudes who've been on Facebook for 6-7 years, how long has the movement really been popping on Facebook? Like 2010? So you say for the past 7 years, look at all these dudes who was on Facebook talking. Where's their programs for the people? Where are their programs for the people? They don't have none. Why? Because they don't have no viable solutions for the people. They just got a lot of rhetoric and talk. They don't even have a book club. Something simple, Brother Knowledge Bond, something as simple as a book club they don't have, where you find people who are really not into that knowledge and they want to learn, bring them together. Get a community center, get a room, get the library, get a room. You bring them together, y'all have a little book study. I've done that with young people. It's easy. But everybody want to complicate the solution to these complex problems. A lot of times we know the simplest solutions is often the right solution. You think the people stupid? Educate them. You think the people shouldn't be eating this poison food? You think we living in the food desert? Start a food garden or join a food co-op. We have Straight Black Garden, kicked off by our brother Baba Ile and Cozy down in Atlanta. And his queen, Sister Tazara, how to grow your own food in different climates and in different weather. How to build your box, you know what I'm saying? To make it, to grow your food. It's not hard. Our brother Kifaru got Straight Black Survival. Brother Salih got the Young Lions program in Boston, teaching the children. I have my youth group party, parents actively reclaiming their youth. We have programs in place with Straight Black Pride. It's not just talking about beating up on homos, because we don't talk about beating up on homos. I'm talking about literally, I mean, proverbially, you know, just always attacking and assaulting. And that's not what Straight Black Pride is about. But unfortunately, we're always coming under attack by the homo, because we're telling our children, these are our family values. You must uphold family values, because there's entities out here that's going to try to dissuade you from living and upholding your family values. That's all Straight Black Pride is. It's our family values that we're turning into our cultural weapon. Because as you were saying earlier, you were talking about the schools don't teach our children how to be black, and you know what I'm saying, and they teach them how to be white. And I agree with you, because our children are supposed to learn about their blackness from home and black institutions. But where are those things now? Those things are being infiltrated because these folks that are the antithesis of what we're doing are cutting checks. Because they're in control of the resources. How they get the resources, they stole them from us. They stole them from us, just like they steal in our homes right now, steal in our very community. The hood ain't the hood no more. It's almost like no ghettos no more. They taking everything from us, and now they're trying to take our children. We coming down to the end game, and the folks don't even see it. Everybody missed this type of, right, Brother Knowledge? They had issues with the rats in the community. So the townspeople got together. Dude said, yo, I can help you. They said, all right, we'll pay you whatever you want. Just help us get rid of the rats. He played the tune. He got the vermin out the community. And once people get what they say they want, you know they always renege on a deal. So they didn't pay the Pied Piper. So he said, y'all don't want to pay me? He played the tune and stole all their children until they met their demand. Only difference is, these people don't want nothing from us but our extermination. So when they take our children, it's not to bring them back to us. They are literally stealing our children. I saw a video the other day, and it was, I forget what the song is about, but the black kid was in love with a white boy. They thought they was best friends, but then the white father walked in, and the black boy is in bed with the white kid. Like, they promoting that interracial homosexual relationship. And when you see stuff enough, it becomes normal. Not saying that the behavior is normal, but when you see it enough, you'll believe that it's normal. Like black people murdering one another. They put it in our records. They put it in our movies. We saw it so much, we came desensitized to it. So when we saw it in real life, it wasn't a shock to us because we've been conditioned to it. And that's what's happening with this assault right now. They're conditioning us to no longer create black families or even support black families. Or if you talk about having a black family, oh, your ideas are antiquated. It's a thing of the past. Black women are no longer desirable. And I don't think there's nothing more beautiful than a black woman. I could be naive, but if God made anything better than a black woman, he kept it for himself. But again, they telling us we're wrong for having family values and valuing those very things that we value. Like, I love my pops. I love my father to life. He just had a birthday Wednesday. I'm going to go see him in a little while once, you know what I'm saying, once we wrap this up. But my father was raised by his father, who was raised by his father. I raised my sons. My son is now raising his son properly because we're creating a model on what black manhood is, what real fatherhood is. If any one of these fathers had abandoned any one of these sons that I'm talking about then in my family lineage, it would have put a kink in the chain and threw everything out of whack. If I wasn't there for my son wouldn't have had a good model to know how to be a good father to his son. So either my son would have been a knucklehead and his son would have been a homo. And not saying that having a father in the house will stop any of these things from happening, but it greatly reduces the chances of it happening, particularly if the father is sound mind and body. And my father wasn't crazy. His father wasn't crazy. His father wasn't crazy. I ain't crazy. My son ain't crazy. And by the spirit of the ancestors, my grandson won't be crazy. But in this world we growing in, who knows? Because we're fighting for the minds of our children. Because these people are literally trying to take them from us. We're trying to live in the spirit of our ancestors. And here, the spirit of their ancestors is trying to interrupt that. And folks don't see it because they're not as sophisticated as they think. And I'm going to leave that right there. Brother Knowledge, you hear me?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here. You know, it's a little delay. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, what you know? Can you update us on the show on your platform? You know, y'all got the dynamic trio over there. You know what I'm saying? You talk about the show. Let the family know what's happening. What's been going on?
Oh man. Yeah. Programs we have, but we also have our own media network here on Blog Talk called the Straight Black Pride Network. Every Monday, you got Chopping It Up with the Irritated Genius, to which he do it live out of, I'm trying to remember the vegan restaurant. It's powerful, dynamic, their food is good. But he does it live, Facebook Live, off of his page every Monday. Then every Tuesday, we got our brother Kifaru Kalidosos Kamati. He has a Straight Black Survival. Every Wednesday at 7 p.m., you got Straight Black Queens with Sister Mari and Sister Zara. And my show with my sister, Sister Keisha Forrester, who's a powerful, dynamic speaker and powerhouse within the movement. Not just with Straight Black Pride, but the African movement, period. And then we got the young warrior, my brother Ashe S.J. Brother Ashe S.J., all three of us have our show called Straight Black Talk every Thursday from 7 to 10 p.m. where we discuss issues that affect black people. We talk about current events. We talk about historical events, and then we marry the two. We talk about current events and put them in this historical context. We like to have a lot of our featured laborers on. This past week, we had our sister Malika Ali on giving us the lowdown on health and alcoholism and how to break your sugar addiction, which a lot of us have. I know I have a little sugar addiction, you know, and just the benefits of living a plant-based lifestyle. The week before that, we had our brother Sean Bay, the trainer, on giving us fitness tips, you know, because, you know, that's our brother field of expertise. And he's a personal trainer, but his lifestyle is also plant-based. We also had previously, in the past, we've also had Abelin on our show, who was just the first first black Secret Service agent in history. We had him on our show. Of course, we had our brother, the legendary Irritated Genie, on the show. So many people, but we have topics that affect us. We talk about how things affect us as black people, and we don't sugarcoat it. But one thing about our platform, We don't use profanity, and we don't allow the N-word. We try to show our people the best of who we are. And, you know, coming from Brooklyn, I come from that element. So, you know, sometimes it's a struggle, you know what I'm saying, not to call people in and not to drop the F-bomb.
Right,
you know,
right.
But that's the only way we're going to get free is through self-control and discipline. You know, I remember I was telling somebody recently, when I first started peeping the movement through YouTube, and I hear all these dudes cursing and the language, and I was like, wow, that's what we're doing in the movement now? Because I knew Dr. Khalid cursed from time to time, but the way he did it was respectful. You know, Dr. Khalid always had a way with words. He's a wordsmith. You know,
right.
When he used the N-word, he didn't call the people in the audience N-words. He didn't call us as African N-words. He talked about those who look like us that would bring harm to African people N-words. You know,
right.
But now you got speakers who call their audience ants. You know, call the audience trifling. Call the audience all kinds of names. And I'm like, what self-respecting African would sit there and let somebody disrespect them? I don't care how big your platform is. You're not going to disrespect me. You're not going to call me out my name.
And then try to justify it. Right, and they go through this artful process. It's like they go through an arduous process, like, you know, really mean negus, and negus means king. Well, call me king. That changes the diameter of the accusatory tone that you're about to use. You see what I'm saying? So if you want to say you ends, you're not going to say you kings. That's going to change the trajectory of your speech now. You see what I'm saying? So if you can tell me the history and the root and it really means this and it go back to Africa and all this other stuff, then you can just call me this. You see what I'm saying? We speaking to that divine, you know, potential. You see what I'm saying? Like, so it's another thing that the entertainment, again, another virtual inception that's been deep-seated. You see what I'm saying? You got brothers and sisters that's like, yo, I don't have a problem with the word. You got that fool who went on TV talking about his hours and we taking it back. It belongs to us. You see what I'm saying? Like, what are you talking about? So now you got to have a conversation around that. You see what I'm saying? Like, you got to have a conversation around that. Like, yo, but who cares? That you see what I'm saying? Why would you try to lay claim to something that was used as a tool, and it's still used. Nobody can tell me when they're calling somebody, you know, the N-word that they made it out of love. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
You can't
like,
mean
yo,
that.
Let's
you
hang
can't
that
mean
in.
There's no
let's
way.
Hang that king.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, like, you can't mean it. And when you, like, you saying, okay, it's a term of endearment, like, yo, we showing each other love, blah, 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 right? But then when I get upset, I'm saying that stupid N or that disrespectful N. You see what I'm saying?
That stupid
you, I'm
king.
Saying it
that
with the same
king.
Spirit. Right, right.
That king.
I'm saying it in the same spirit that the slave master intended to use. It's usage.
Right.
The same way a neo-Nazi uses, the same way any Euro uses the term. When they mean, that's what they mean. So that's what you mean. You mean it the same way because that's where you got it from. You see what I'm saying? Like, they, you know, like, so, like, the real thing, like, if we're really looking to respect the divine within one another, if we really, you know, akin to this reestablishing value in African people and African lives, we got to speak to that divine potential that exists within our brothers and sisters. You see what I'm saying? And then they'd be like, well, everybody ain't a king and everybody ain't a queen. So this is the substitute word then? This is the relegation.
Sure.
This is the devolution of the process. You see what I'm saying? So I'm speaking to the heart, the soul, and the spirit of our people when we speak. You see what I'm saying? When we get together, when we build, when I call you Uncle Tad on the phone, you see what I'm saying? That conversation can go from 15 minutes to 2 hours. You understand what I'm saying? And we're going in a space of edification. You see what I'm saying? African edification. You know, where's the edifying? There's no, like, you can search your timeline and all this stuff, and you see all of this negative stuff. So are we watching football? Are we not watching football? You know, then that becomes a thing. All this foolishness, you see what I'm saying? All of this foolishness from people who saying that they want to be free. Or they standing with people who want liberation. Or they standing for our people's liberation. Nah,
I can't tell. You see what I'm saying? Where is the evidence? Where is the proof? We come from a show and prove culture. You see what I'm saying? Like, we did more face-to-face talk than we did phone talk. You see what I'm saying?
That's right.
Men met and we spoke. You see what I'm saying? We was on the phone, you know, with our ladies. You understand what I'm saying?
Well,
we was on the phone with our ladies.
Say that part again. The dudes don't get that part.
Yeah, like
they don't get it.
We met up to strategize. We didn't strategize over no phone. We ain't strategizing over no internet. It was face to face. You see what I'm saying? We were on the phone with our queens. We were on the phone with our ladies. You see what I'm saying? Giving that type of attention so we could see them physically. You see what I'm saying? So we're doing a lot of this, you know, out of sync and out of our natural way of being based on this addiction to this artificial way of life. You see what I'm saying? So
yeah.
What you do on the internet is more important than what you do in real life. Or who you are on the internet is more important than who you are in real life. You see what I'm saying? what is this? You see what I'm saying? And it just switched, you know, this phenomenon. So, you know, it's still new. It's, you know, still in this infancy stage in regards to us interacting and interfacing. So, you know, that's definitely a dynamic that we need to look into. You see what I'm saying? And our children growing up, you know, with these tablets and all these devices and things like that, these devices, you know, we give them value in life and credence. You see what I'm saying? Instead of giving the child the life, the value and the credence, we put more credence on the thing. You see what I'm saying? About to pay $1,000 for an iPhone. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
About to pay $1,000 for an iPhone. You know, that's somebody's mortgage. You see what I'm saying? That's an acre of land someplace. That's 2 acres of land on the continent. You
Word.
See what I'm saying? Something that's yours. Something that you would own. You know what I mean? Like, but you know, that's the addiction. You see what I'm saying? We're dealing with a traumatized and addictive type of people. So, you know, they use when you're in a state of depression, they call it shock therapy. You see what I'm saying? You got shock therapy. And the sugar is associated with depression. You understand what I'm saying? So this addiction to sugar, it comes from that depression. You see what I'm saying? It comes from that depression. So psychologically, coping mechanism, also alcoholism, is a coping mechanism for depression. You see what I'm saying? Straight up. So, you know, these things are linked. You know, these things are linked. So, you know, when the scriptures say, as a man thinketh, so is he, that, again, controlling that mind with that sexual assault robs you, and you violate it. You're in a state of depression. You see what I'm saying? So now you're looking for the coping mechanism. And it's the inverse when you're upset. When you're upset, you know, it's spice, it's, you know, excessive salt, all of that. You see what I'm saying? So, you know, all of these ills and these maladies that, you know, we're dealing with, the coping mechanism now becomes the internet. So you could go on the internet and hear somebody's therapy session. They're telling you how they feeling, where they're going, what they're doing, what they're thinking, what they ain't thinking, what they like, what they don't like, who they support, who they don't support. All of this stuff is all on the internet. So this is a virtual breeding ground, African poaching to take place. You see what I'm saying? So they on a hunt. You see what I'm saying? To poach this African mind. You see what I'm saying? To kill African people virtually. So now when the death takes place, it's just like the Matrix. You see what I'm saying? If you die in the Matrix, you die in real life. So, you know, a situation going back to old buddy, what's his name, Glass Joe, what he did in the Matrix had real life, you know, consequences. You see what I'm saying? So if you die in the Matrix, you die in real life. Your mind makes it real. You see what I'm saying? Like, your body can't live without the mind. So if you're spewing this kind of stuff on the internet, when somebody see you, they come to see you. If I was on the internet chat, like they got the money phone. You understand what I'm saying? These people on the internet were talking about we doing the money phone challenge. You see what I'm saying? They're putting money to their ear.
Right.
somebody gonna see you. The street, somebody in the street's gonna see you. Like, word?
Yeah.
If I'm on the internet with all of these chains and, you know, I'm doing this and we balling and we doing it up, okay. Somebody's waiting for you. It's called gravity.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Somebody waiting for you. So you just made yourself a target, just like you were speaking to, you know, earlier. You see what I'm saying? You just made yourself a target. Now you're going to become targeted. You see what I'm saying? So it's just like they did the mannequin challenge with the guns and the police came and got them. You see what I'm saying? Like all this crazy
right.
stuff that you got going on. You see what I'm saying? This foolishness
right.
that's out here. Because, you know, people want attention that bad. They want attention. You see what I'm saying? So they doing things for attention. Like if we got children, you know, if your child's acting out, any attention is better than no attention.
Yeah.
So they'll take
a
behind whooping. They'll take a behind whooping for attention. You understand what I'm saying? So it's we definitely in that space. Pardon me, y'all. Go ahead, bro.
Nah, because everything you said is 100% right and exact, and this is why Straight Black Pride is so important. Because, you know, taking back what you said, you know, we have to tap into that divine potential because we're here to be more than what we've been relegated to. See, so much has been stolen from us that we're in these conditions, that we have to have a movement to move forward to get out of these conditions. You know, and it's like when you challenge the status quo, even amongst supposedly African-centered people, they don't want to hear that. They want to act like, oh, you act like you're a moral authority. Now, I'm not so much of an authority, but we do have to create new standards, to create new rules, because we see when we don't have these things, the damage that it causes. It's particularly when you're dealing with different people, different personalities, different ideologies, different mindsets, and many of these people have different reasons for joining the movement. Some people are here to be teachers. Some are here to be warriors. Some are healers. Some are businessmen, and some are con men. And some people are just here to learn. And we can't do nobody a disservice when we start becoming duplicitous and what our intentions are for joining the movement. Me, I'm a student, teacher, and a warrior. That's it. You've never seen a GoFundMe for nothing I've done. But you know the sad part, though? Brother Knowledge Born, I'm about to start a GoFundMe. And when I do, I'm going to let it be known. Because I see all of these people with GoFundMes, and they're not doing anything for the people and the children. Me and Sister Keisha was having this conversation on our way to Boston yesterday about being in leadership positions in the movement. People don't understand how much of your money you invest in the things that you do. Just to turn around and have people not appreciate your effort, you know, but when you know you're doing it from a good place, it don't bother you because the ancestors somehow know how to return those resources. They'll bring them right back to you as long as your intentions are pure because things don't always work out the way we intend them to do. And that's with anything. It don't always work out like we intend. Sometimes it does, but for the most part, things don't always work out like we intend them to. As long as your intentions were good, as long as it wasn't from a place of a duplicity and trying to manipulate and steal from the people. But I see sovereign people asking for court fees, doing GoFundMe. So, but my thing is, if you're sovereign, cash in your birth certificate, get that few million dollars you know you talking about. Why are you trying to fleece the people with a GoFundMe? If you're sovereign, why are you even acknowledging their subpoena? Why are you even showing up to their fake stuff? They not real. They don't got no control over you, so don't go. But it shows you the contradictions in people's platforms and positions, and they not being authentic with it. You know, you can see my page. You see a lot of my page in the past is I'm always out with young people. I've scaled back that, you know, and just made my page a little more family-centered because I want to show the authenticity of who I am, the realness of who I am. You know what I'm saying? That I have a family. I have parents. I'm not this dude who's trying to be your leader or, you know what I'm saying, this fictitious character that I've made up online. Nah, I'm me, whether you love it or you hate it. And the sad part I realized is when you don't measure up to people's expectation, what they make in your head, now they start making up things about you. You know, thankful I ain't nobody talk crazy about me yet because, again, I'm a warrior. I'm approach you. I see you in the streets, I'm approach you. you're not going to disrespect me and not get disrespected. I've seen speakers tell the other ones, suck they thing, and then when they finally do see each other face to face, it's all smiles and palms and they taking pictures. It's like it really is not real. And this is a disservice to the people that's coming into the movement that's trying to learn, because what we're in essence telling them is disrespect of one another is cool. We can't have problems if we disrespect or we disagree with ideology. Can't let that be known, because we can't let that be the thing, because what happens is as we get disrespected in the community, as we get disrespected in the streets by Europeans, there's no retaliation. So then the people who considering joining our movement will think twice about it and say, why would I join this if every time something happens to us, nothing happened to the people harming us? And we have to stop that across the board. It has to be consequences for people harming our women, our children, and our elders. And the disrespect of our women. I don't care if you're black, white, green, or purple. You disrespect our women, you got to get dealt with. And at the same token, a lot of our sisters can't be disrespecting themselves either. Because I'm from a place where a lot of brothers I know was murdered defending some sisters, turn around and exhibit the same behavior that'll get them in the jam in the first place. That be getting brothers murdered who's trying to defend them. I'll tell you, we got a lot of work to do, Brother Knowledge Born.
That's real. Definitely real.
No.
So,
is there any
closing
questions you have?
Yeah, I was about to ask. I know you got to go see Pop Duke, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
What can we look forward to coming up from, you know, whatever you can share about Straight Black Pride Movement, about, you know, and give us the rundown on the platforms again, you see what I'm saying, how people can get a hold of you, contact you, things like that.
All right, so what we got coming up soon, we'll be having the Irritated Genie in New York. We'll be having him within a month or so. His first appearance in New York in over a year, we'll have him speaking. You know, our brother took a step back because he saw a lot of foolishness that wasn't helpful to our people. We saw that. We're going to relaunch the New York chapter. And when I say relaunches, you know, we just going to do membership interviews, because we've been very selective on who can be a part of the movement. We've been exclusive. We haven't been inclusive because a lot of people don't come in with the right energy and intention. So we'll be doing that soon. So you look out for that. We'll let you know so you can let the people know. Again, our Straight Black Pride Radio Network is every day except Friday, Saturday and Sunday. So Monday you got Chopping It Up with Irritated Genie on his Facebook Live page. Then every Tuesday at 7 p.m. you got our brother, the Black Rhino, Brother Kifaro Kalidosos Kimathi on Straight Black Survival from 7 p.m. on, I believe it's 7 to 9 p.m. Then every Wednesday on the same network you have Straight Black Queens with Sister Mari and Sister Tazara from 7 to 9. And then on Thursday, you have me, Brother Ashe, and Sister Keisha on Straight Black, because we always got a lot to say. What else do we have going up? And, of course, we got Straight Black Gardens. You can like all of our Facebook pages, Straight Black Survival, Straight Black Gardens, Straight Black Pride Movement, Straight Black Pride NYC, Straight Black Talk, Straight Black Talk Radio. And if you're interested, if you're interested in the Straight Black Pride NYC chapter, all you got to do is hit us up on Facebook, Straight Black Pride NYC. Hit us in the inbox, and we'll let you know what it is. We'll let you know when our meetings are. And because we'll also be doing more events, Brother Knowledge. We're definitely going to do more events to have the people come out, because we see that a lot of people are lacking the knowledge. But we're not going to do the space age stuff. You know, we're going to do the practical, applicable solutions to the problem. We're not going to be selling no vegan water. We're not going to be selling no crystals from Mars. We're going to have applicable solutions for our people. Yes, sir. mean, and that's
I was waiting for one. I knew we was good. I was good for one. You know what I'm saying? At least one. You know what I'm saying?
Nah, well, you know. I mean, it's a difference between doing business with people and hustling people. And you know, I'm from New York, where we've seen it all. You know what I'm saying? So I don't knock the hustle. I'll just knock the hustler. Because we can't come in this movement to hustle the people. If we're going to do business, let's do straight-up business with our people. Again, like I said, I've been doing this for years. I pretty much work with the elders. I work with the unsung heroes, the people that you won't know until they transition. Like, you know, even with the transition of our queen mother, Leola Maddox, you know, the wife of attorney at war, Alton Maddox, you know, I didn't see enough people there. As much as you see a conscious hub in New York, right? You see, a lot of people think that there's like New York is the hub of consciousness for some reason. That's because the internet and YouTube will make you believe that. But there's a real hub of consciousness. Because all of your favorite internet celebrities I didn't see at the memorial service for Queen Mother. You know how I was surprised came? Brother Dr. Umar. He's not in New York, but he made it his business to come. Cabo was there. I mean, though he's in New York, you know what I'm saying? You had other brothers that many may or may not know of, like a brother Trust Graham. Of course, Sister Keisha was there. Our brother Mike Graves from 100 Blacks and Law Enforcement Who Care. People who constantly do work for our people, whether we agree with them or not, but they're doing work. They're there when the lights and cameras aren't there. Some people are just in the movement for photo ops. And the people have to be cognizant of that. We have to make the people aware of who the fake people are, who the charlatans are. I will always stick up and big up my brother, Irritated Genie, because as much as people call him an agent, he's had area performances all over the country, and not once has anybody stepped up to him to challenge him on accusations of being an agent. Or when he did his last War on the Horizon radio show, he left the lines open. He opened the lines for all those who's in opposition of him to call. And nobody came with proof or documentation that he was an agent, so they need to stop. Agents don't tell black people to be better people. Agents tell black people to sniff coke and get this money from black folk. That's what agents do. Agents don't have black people's best interests at heart. Irritated Genie does not sleep. He does not sleep. He sits up all night studying, researching, and working on the best interests of our people. You know what I'm saying? That's a brother to be commended, because I see his work ethic. I see it with my own two eyes. I tell him sometimes, take a day off. His wife took him on a little vacation one time, and the brother was working. I had to text him like, bro, what you doing? You're supposed to be relaxing. But he seriously wants our people free. I've met the brother's mother. How many of these people you meet their family? All these dudes touring the country, doing all, who's their family? Do their family even support them? These dudes don't even get support of their loved ones. Sometimes, some of us tell our family to stay back because we know we got vultures and real agents watching us, and we don't want to put our family in harm's way. So sometimes we tell our families to fall back. Sometimes our families don't want to be in the mix because they don't want their attention. They don't want people like, yo, you know this one, you know that one. You know, one of my cousins on my other side of the family hit me, you know, one of my young cousins, he hit me like, yo, I didn't know Doggy Diamonds was our family. I was like, yeah, talk over his own family, because he didn't know that that's family. So the point I'm making is a lot of our family fall back because they don't want the attention. People don't want nobody running up on them like, yo, you know brother such and such, or because it's uncomfortable, because people have turned this movement into a celebrity game, into celebrity worship. Can you introduce me to this one? Can you introduce me to that one? It's not about that. It's about the work. So I salute my elder at St. Confortours, putting together these trips to get our people to the continent so that our people could see what the motherland is like. We don't see old women on these YouTube pages or in these Facebook pages, right? But they're doing the work. Our elders are doing the work. They're literally doing the work. But they don't get the support and accolades because they don't have that explosive personality that everybody's looking for. They don't have the charisma. All they have is the dedication and commitment to African liberation. Only way many people know about our premier scholar, Baba Baruti, is because every chance we get, we big him up. Because he does work. He's wrote about, 20 books? He educates children every day, takes his money to educate children. But he's not all over the internet trying to be a personality. He's trying to be free. So we have to question these people who can't go a day without trying to make a video, trying to post, But it's the people who give these people power. So in my Suge Knight stand, if y'all really want to be free and you tired of your leaders and speakers, they're all on YouTube, all up on Facebook, all on Instagram, come to Straight Black Pride. You know what I'm saying? But I digress, my brother.
I appreciate you coming on. Appreciate your time. You know what I'm saying? Shouts out to Straight Black Pride Movement all across the globe. You know what I mean? Straight Black Pride is needed. Wherever kings are. You see what I'm saying? So definitely thank you again for coming on. You always come through, you know what I'm saying, break that glass whenever I need it. You know what I'm saying? So this was the weekend. You know, I was like, Straight Black Pride weekend. You know what I'm saying?
And 1 second. I'd be remiss if I didn't big up my brother's United Front, the Asafo Gang, my brother's Che Black, Omani Mayasa, Doc Mati, and Dido Green. Shout out to them brothers, you know what I'm saying? Because they provide the theme music, the African insurrection theme music that we play from coast to coast. You know what I'm saying? To keep this Straight Black Pride thing moving. You know what I'm saying? That's our warrior theme music right there. So I definitely have to shout my brothers out and show them nothing but love.
You know, that's all we play over here. You know, this is UF Radio, Sappho Radio. I was just scrolling through trying to decide what I was going to play on the outro. You see what I'm saying? So we definitely making this happen over here. And
So, Brother Knowledge, bro, we got to do this again real soon, brother. Do it again real
definitely.
Soon. All right, maybe
definitely.
I have Sister Keishan and Brother Ashe with me. They're out at the African American Day Parade, you know, lending their presence. You know what I mean? We work
they
around the clock.
They watching the Giants play, man. You know what I'm saying? You ain't got to talk to them. You know what I'm saying? They watching the Giants, man. You know what I'm saying?
You know, I work, don't stop. You know what I'm saying? We definitely don't stop. So, brother, again, it's been a pleasure. And we'll holler soon. Straight Black Pride.
Straight Black Pride. So we're about to roll out, fam. Salute to my brother, Uncle Tad, stopping through, chopping it up with your brother. We're going to roll out. We'll be on tomorrow, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Warrior Queen's Perspective. On Monday, Tuesday, we got Brother Timbo King and Brother Raz SPS King coming through on the Book of Brick series, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time with my brother, Brick the Foundation. Wednesday, we got Black Survivor 2017 and beyond. Hopefully, we get Baba Kafaru to come through, drop some gems, and the brother Serene to drop some Survivor gems on us. Wednesday, 4:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Thursday, we got the Sankofa Circle, and we're going to be talking Black Survivor as well, and emergency preparedness and, those vital components with our sister, India Sada. So Sankofa Circle, that's 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Friday, we got Ku Kim Radio with the Chief Priest of Aninsu Tribe
Unc Benu will be in the building this Friday. Saturday, we got the brother who made the documentary, Black Beach, White Beach, coming on. Brother Rick will be in the building. So we just got a fantastic type of experience going on. I don't know for Sunday. I think we're going to do a dedication to Kwame Nkrumah because Thursday is his solo return. So, yeah, definitely Sunday we'll do a dedication to Rights Warrior, Pan-African Ancestor, Kwame Nkrumah. That's what we do on Sunday. So we got the whole thing laid out. If you like what you heard, you can subscribe to the show here, www.blogtalkradio.com/DothKnowledgeRadio. That's DothKnowledgeRadio. Make sure y'all follow everything Straight Black Pride. Give them that love, honor, and support. They are the only advocate, true advocate for the future of African life. Understand? So they need our utmost support and salute and honor for all of the work that they're doing. So we're going to roll out of here. Straight Black Pride, Straight Black Power, Straight Black Love. We'll see y'all tomorrow.
What it is, people, it's your boy Doggy Diamonds. We in Nicholas Books right here. We got the king, the great elder, Baba Baruti, with us right now. And I just want to ask you something. We got hip-hop, we got music, we got all of that. But how important is the United Front bringing this African insurrection in?
It's beyond calculation. People don't understand the importance of bringing music to young folks that moves them on to being the kind of warriors that they need to be. This is a phenomenal thing for me because most of the stuff that's out there leads them in the direction that you're being. Most of the stuff that's out there leads them in the direction that's the same. So when you have people who are brand true, who are brand in the way that they love it, that they understand it, they've got the beat, they've got the music, they've got the people who look like them, that's a measure in terms of its value. That's one of the major complaints that we see. Other folks are co-opted our music. They take the beat and then they put the words to it that do not match what the words are going. Not in front of African insurrection music, they are putting together the kind of tools that warriors need, the kind of words that warriors need to do this battle.
My big mouth. I got a big mouth. Can't help it. Talk from my heart. I'm real.
Yeah. I try to spook, but these crackers know who the hell I'm trying to fool. I squeeze like I'm playing accordions, playing Zydeco. Xylophone your bones, put the xenophobe under the microscope. Raise a hairy situation like a lycanthrope. Didn't flinch when I was lynched and came back with a tighter rope. I'm inconsolable, man, these devils gotta go. Cause they won't change, like Bruce Wayne sliding down a fire pole. Bossy boy, we mobbing, this ain't a comic, this Haley's Comet. Something for the babies to look up to and be astonished. Something to let the traitors and haters know they can sleep with the cockpit. While I reach for the heat that'll breeze through every enemy's dermis, starting with the top skin. Entry wound was tiny, exit wound a crater. The rest of your crew don't want it, they ready to sign waivers. I don't battle no more, but don't nudge it, I kill it so quick. Your man with ADHD still on the same subject. Disrespect my flag, I will dissect your hands. My rapping is automatic, my intellect won't jam. Listen, it's the Vanguard, my flow hotter than San Juan. Need to go see your purse in my flow, nastier than Monique in a ham song. End of the day, I'm a man, homes. Ironically, they lack testicular fortitude and want a ball like Lance Armstrong. Aside from my wise, I've never been much of a compromiser. Run out of cheeks to turn, that cracker gone straight sodomize ya. I'm real, pituitary to pioneer. Rhyme clear in Brooklyn, I'm a pioneer. I'm America's nightmare, young black and aware. Don't fraternize with devils, I ain't playing with you queers. Finna be a millionaire and never sell my soul. I'm selling liberation syllables that'll kill a foe.
This ain't no hustle, this is God's words. My rhymes like they proverbs, bring drama with the Mossberg. Line merge, faggots, free bring agony. My iron burns, whomever it might concern. Get yourself inside a urn, I tried to learn to get along. We can't, let's get it on. Thinking this is just a song of reckless talking. I beg your pardon, respect the squadron. Or get dealt with in a violently fashion. No kind of compassion. I hate hats, crackers, and faggots like mob wars. Bring it right to the mattress. Rhyming assassin. Black be riding like I'm Jonathan Jackson. Walk unknown parts. Why branded just to mention to bring damage. I walk through the valley of death and remain standing. These herd crime coaches, double doses of Jersey dopeness. My freestyle ferocious, but I wrote this for the primordial Malmola and lion hearted soldiers who die harder than roaches when pigs try to encroach us. Read they mamas crying while they lying up in comas. Got the science of a cobra, staying silent when in motion, with the confident composure striking lifeless in the open. Righteously, I'm chosen with this knife to leave you soaking, or squealing, killing over like you kneeling to Jehovah. On red, black, and blue his eyes, crackers get brutalized. Black power, super fly, Mac under the suit and tie. Back by the Ruger 9, coupe, sec, Kool-Aid car. Get busy, do or die, kamikaze, suicide. Kinda how we do it, ride, sec me and my boots survive. Whole squad of position, 1,000 rounds, hammers cocked, moving like the Mau Mau, riding on Camelot, cruising through the deep south, rolling with the meters out. Truth, freedom, riders, damn right, that's what we about. Jay Black ain't here to play games, I came for clean the houses. Work the bottom line, yo, we at odds until it evens out.
I'm a minute to society, addicted to sobriety. Try me, bullets glances, you flying. You see the irony, I'm liberating colonies through black power philosophy. You can never amount to me if you was tall as a mountain, B. I like to thank every Negro who ever doubted me, cause now I'm the prototype how these rappers want they style to be. How to mentally dead, thinking they live as me, they must be insane. Get folded and left like newspapers on a train. Every vessel, every vein is dedicated to bring pain, break you up and make change. Rap it hard to keep it clean as a blank page. To the crown and the throne, I'm here to make claim. Follow my lead, you are not in my league. Giving birth to ideas when the thought is conceived. I toss crackers in the coffin and leave. This MC put rappers in positions where they forced to concede. Despite the odds, I was born to succeed. I'm the dog, best believe. I'm never slipping as I walk on the sea. Get the crowd out of their seats when I talk on the beat. Beat a cracker out of his sleep when he walk on my street. My sword, behead zealots, leave a devil dead. Hit his head with glowing red lead pellets. Don't you dare test us, walk around bare chested. I leave you there resting, cause I air session. You cross dressing, use a transgender. Did a hand severed method with this man's temper. Slam you like Dan Severin. Look me up, I am legend. I could be battling rappers down at the summer madness, but can't be seen with nobody. Gay as the sun of magic. If you ain't got it, you gon' never have it. Cause you's a effing faggot. Murder crackers without the effing dragon. I'm unpacking the chrome 357 Magnum. I'm after the gold and after that the platinum. Not from selling albums, but taking back the land from where they found it. Even was founded. Every word that I'm pronouncing is announcing white supremacy. I'm completing the trilogy. Me and Shay and the ambassador, the massacre. Pull out a car jack and beat a cracker up. Now pack it up. My opponent's bodies are stacking up. Put the smack of funk and won't inflate your tires when I blast the pump.